Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and today, one day early, we mark what is being hailed as Nelson Mandela Day. Tomorrow is the South African leader's 95th birthday, and although his health is unstable, events are planned around the world to mark his legacy. So let's talk a little bit about that legacy now with two people from a generation younger than Mandela and see how his early vision for South Africa has manifested itself in the country today. Nicole Lee is the president of TransAfrica. You may remember the organization is having a prominent role in leading the apartheid boycotts and protests in this country during the 1980s. If you were paying attention yet in those days, her parents were active in the anti-apartheid movement. Now she's carrying on the same sort of work. Nicole, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And we're honored to also be joined by the South African ambassador to the United States, Ibrahim Rasool. He was formerly premier of the Western Cape District and a member of the African National Congress, the ANC, the leading party there, their executive committee. Ambassador Rasool, thanks so much for making the time.
Thanks very much, Brian.
And first, Ambassador, do you have an update on the health of Mr. Mandela? We seem to be getting different reports every day.
Look, I think that the state of a 95-year-old person with lung infection is going to fluctuate, but I think that we are just thankful that he is seeming to make it to his 95th birthday, that people are even optimistically speaking about the possibility of some form of recovery. But I think that in his state, he is always going to be worse today than he was a month ago, and certainly than he was a few months ago. So the critical but stable description, I think, remains apt for the situation in which Nelson Mandela finds himself.
I want to play an early clip of Nelson Mandela talking about the universal values that he envisioned for the country. This goes all the way back to his famous 1964 courtroom appearance.
I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons will live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an idea for which I hope to live for and to see realized. But my Lord, if it needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
1964 Mandela. Here's 1998 Mandela, 34 years later, 4 years after he took office as president, with perhaps a more practical vision for how the country could be governed.
Where men and women and children go burdened with hunger, suffering from preventable diseases, languishing in ignorance and illiteracy, or finding themselves bereft of decent shelter. Talk of democracy and freedom that does not recognize this material aspect can ring hollow and erode the confidence exactly in those values we seek to promote.
That speech was at Harvard in 98, by the way. So, Nicole, as we mark his 95th birthday, which of those visions do you see as having the most lasting impact?
Well, I think both. I mean, he was much different. He was much changed. He was much altered from his time in prison. He even talked about in his book how it mellowed him a bit. But I think that he still lived and will eventually die, like all the rest of us will die, for a vision of a new South Africa. And I think that once he was in governance, he, of course, got into the details of it. But even today, I mean, one of the most poignant things that we at TransAfrica were told is that his birthday wish is still for the rights of all children. And so that is why he's hoping that people around the world will donate to the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund to build a hospital in Africa. So I think that certainly the political project that he began during the anti-apartheid movement and the political project that he really saw through. Now we're seeing how that is being manifested in South Africa. And there have been, you know, ebbs and flows in it. And that's what it's like in every society. We see that in our own situation here in the United States. Our civil rights movement, we've had our triumphs and we've also had, you know, our challenges. And yet South Africa is experiencing that as well. So I think that it's a real movement, a real moment to actually look at his consistency as a leader, where he dealt with the small problems, and he also dealt with the problems of vision, and he really brought a much broader vision to South Africa and, frankly, to the world.
Ambassador Rasool, one of the major issues facing South Africa, and something President Obama highlighted on his recent trip as a challenge for the entire region, is corruption. And I see that South Africa was ranked 34th in Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index back in 1999, the year Mandela left office. Last year, the same survey ranked it 69th, much, much worse. Why do you think that is? And does it have anything to do with the difficulty of following Mandela?
Look, I think that Mr. Mandela is always going to be an exceptional act to follow. And I think that he came in at a time of enormous transition. I think that since then, South Africans, particularly black South Africans, have had to manage what to do with the enormous resources, with the kind of economy, the most diversified economy, how we manage all of those kind of things. And certainly, I think that we have people in our country with feet of clay who would want to take shortcuts to prosperity. The good thing is that the legacy of Nelson Mandela is a transparent system. It's a constitution that makes everyone equal before the law. So whether you're a president, a vice president, a minister, or whatever the case may be, you are not immune to facing your day in court. And so I think that the movement, the improvement in the corruption statistics is because the system is beginning to work. The institutions are beginning to become really durable as we move forward. And I think that we are getting closer to the kind of ideal society that Nelson Mandela would want us to have. And I think that even as we celebrate his 95th birthday and as our country is anxious about the longevity of Nelson Mandela, I think there is such an enormous pressure all over South Africa to be like Mandela, to be incorruptible, to be a reconciling person, to be a person who lives by the finest ideals and gives the best leadership possible. So I think we are even being challenged as he lies on his sickbed to be like him, and I think we'll succeed in that challenge.
Mm. And Nicole, then on that point, from your position at a group called Trans Africa, I wonder if you have any thoughts about the lessons from South Africa as you watch the events in Egypt and even other parts of the Middle East that are not in Africa. You know, for all of those challenges that South Africa has, post-apartheid South Africa has never fallen under military rule or despotism, and it never saw a coup, and there weren't political riots in the streets. Are there lessons to be learned from Egypt, and is anybody paying attention?
You know, I think that there are many lessons to be learned. I think from our perspective here in the United States, I think we have to be very careful about who we call friend and who we call foe. And that is something that during the Free South Africa movement, it was a real challenge for anti-apartheid activists. Their U.S. government, our stated policy was constructive engagement. It was not to deter the South African government from their policies, but it was to engage with them and to continue to talk with them while, frankly, people were dying in the streets. And that was unacceptable to Americans, especially to African Americans in the United States. And so people dedicated 20 years of their life to not so much changing the apartheid system, but about changing the U.S. policy, about changing our system and how we deal with governments around the world, and really getting our governments to stand with people, not just with corporate interests, which was the case certainly during the Free South Africa movement, but not with just these short-term political interests. So when we look at Egypt or frankly, any country around the world, we as Americans really need to be clear about about believing that our country and making sure that our country is standing for actual freedom. They're standing for the rights of not just the individual, but the rights of communities to prosper. And oftentimes we see that our foreign policy can be, frankly, quite short-sighted, that we think about our short-term interests, whether they be for resources like we see in the Democratic Republic of Congo, or whether it's our war on drugs like we see in Colombia. And we really need to think more broadly about how do we want to foster appropriate community building around the planet, and how do we want to be in partnership and in solidarity rather than imposing our own views? And so I think that that's the real lesson of the
South Africa movement. Thank you very much. And that was Nicole Lee, president of Trans Africa. We've also had the South African ambassador to the United States with us, Ibrahim Rasool, on the occasion tomorrow of Nelson Mandela's 95th birthday. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming on.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, post your birthday greetings and wishes for Nelson Mandela on our website at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.